Live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Another chilly, raw day. I don't know how else to describe it. Here we are in the middle of May. And, we're chilly. We're shivering a little bit. Temperatures are still in the 40s. We do expect to get a little bit warmer today, but not very pretty either. Well, we're going to talk about a pretty thing on the first portion of the program today. We will later have some more candidate chats. We're going to be talking to two of the candidates who would like to be the new prothonotary in Butler County. Coming up later on the program today, we're also going to chat for a while with Mark Hess, who's down in Texas. We'll be talking with him by telephone on the final segment of the program today. But first of all, we're going to be talking about the upcoming Spring Garden Market and Home Show, which is this weekend. We say hello to Susan Struthers, who is a master gardener under the that's under Penn State Extension, right, Susan?
Penn State Extension, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Also with us here in the studio is Tim Calvert, who is the Aquatics and Program Manager for the Butler County Parks and Recreation Department. Tim, good to see you as well.
Good to see you again, Dave.
So give us the particulars here, Susan Struthers, on the Spring Garden Market and Home Show. It's this Saturday, right?
The Spring Garden Market, it's the 17th annual one. It's this Saturday from 9 a.m. until 3 in the afternoon. We'll have all kinds of things for sale, kid activities for the children. Admission, parking, and shuttle service is all free. It's a free event.
And this takes place at Alameda Park, which is why the county is involved, right, Tim?
Correct. Yeah. It takes place in our Oddfellow Loop, so back in our newer part of the park, back behind the water park and all that stuff.
And that's called the Oddfellows Loop?
Yeah, it's what we call it. The Oddfellow Shelter is kind of the main feature of that area. It's a large shelter that's kind of designed after our carousel shelter at our lower end of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our big shelter that's up there, and then we have a whole loop that goes around that we set up all of our special events at.
So this is in the upper end of the park, but it's down past the pool and on into that area, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's where we built that about 7 years ago, roughly, now. So,
is there enough parking?
Yeah. We bring in Silver Air Patrol. They help handle getting everyone parked for the event, and that's why we offer the shuttle service, because sometimes we do have to park them down by the carousel shelter, but we'll have two vans running all day long, picking people up from their parking spots, and we have different shuttle stops throughout the park that they can wait there, get the ride, and then they'll drop them right back off there.
That's why I ask, because this is a very, very popular event. It's a wonderful event, and it usually draws a big crowd, and people might wonder if there's enough. Because I've been to picnics down in that area where it gets a little bit crowded, so there will be shuttle service from other parts of Alameda Park.
Correct.
Good. And the hours again, you said, Susan?
9 a.m. until 3 p.m.
It's free. There's no admission charge.
It's totally free. Uh-huh. Free parking, and the shuttle service is also free.
So tell us what people who attend who have never been there before, what are they going to see? You've got tons of vendors there, right?
Well, we have a lot of vendors around the loop. Most of our vendors are kind of craft and plant related. Mm-hmm. There's also some home improvement vendors there to give you ideas to improve your home. And if you get hungry while you're shopping through all these vendors, we have several food vendors who'll be there with snacks, sweet treats, that sort of thing.
So you can kind of make half a day of it, right?
If you want. You can make a total day of it. We also have children's activities, so bring the kids along, and Home Depot will be there with kits for them. We'll have face painters and a petting zoo. Mm-hmm. To keep the kids busy.
Lots of stuff to keep the kids occupied. I've seen those Home Depot kit things where that's where they actually allow the youngsters to build something simple, right?
Yes, they do. I'm not sure what it is this year. Do you know, Tim?
I believe it's a birdhouse, but it changes every year. So, but they do, they bring everything out. They bring the kits. They bring enough tools for everyone to use. And it's just like their do-it-yourself workshops that they have at the stores once a month. They're essentially just doing it at the Spring Garden Market this year.
And who knows? That might kindle a lifelong interest in woodworking or building for kids, you know, to get to do that at that young age.
Or birding, which is a very popular hobby now.
Yes,
also.
Indeed. So take the kids, and if they're not interested in that, there'll be plenty of other things. A petting zoo, you said?
A petting zoo with, I think there's a pony there. Did they have pony rides this year?
Or? No pony rides, I don't believe, but you know, they'll have goats, pigs, all kinds of different farm animals that they'll have stuff that you can feed them as well. So they get to interact with the animals, and all the kids seem to love that.
Now, it's a browsing thing for people who attend. They can leisurely walk through all of the vendor booths and so on, but there'll be stuff to buy too.
There will be plenty of things to buy. When I asked Justine this morning what to talk about, she said, push the plants. So, today, I'm talking about plants. The Master Gardeners will have their normal plant sale in the Holly Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we probably have at least 100 to 150 different kinds of plants. We have mostly flowering perennials.
Now, these are the Master Gardeners plants, so what does that mean? Is this stuff that Master Gardeners have been raising year after year in this area?
Or? It's a variety of things. A couple of us make a couple trips east because their growing zones are earlier than ours, so we can buy plants there that are already very much more grown than the ones that we have here, so we get plants that way. We also do have our Master Gardeners dig plants out of their gardens and donate them to the plant sale. So those plants we know are going to grow in the listeners' gardens.
Now, are we talking about flowers or vegetables or both?
Well, Master Gardeners have, I would say, probably more flowers, mostly perennial flowers. We will have some vegetables also this year. One of our Master Gardeners grows a lot of tomatoes and peppers, so we'll have those for sale at our area. We have some little succulent centerpieces that we've put together for people also. They're hardy succulents, though, so they will grow outside.
It's like a cactus or something, a succulent?
Well, cactuses are succulents, but cactuses don't really grow outside here very well, except for one kind.
So there's other kind of succulents, right? Other than...
Well, and hens and chicks. Are you familiar with hens and
chicks? Oh, yes,
chicks?
I've seen them. Yeah. Those, sometimes, I had a neighbor when I was a child that had a big pot, a back porch pot, and it had holes in the side.
Right.
And they were growing out of the holes.
Right. And succulents are a big trend right now, both indoor and outdoor succulents. So we've put together some centerpieces that have hens and chicks. And then some of the sedums are also succulents. So we've put some small sedums in there to make a little arrangement, you know, for you to put in the middle of your patio table or something like that. Those will be for sale also.
And you said most of the flowers from the Master Gardeners are perennials.
Perennials, right.
Now, to go back to my biology class, annuals are the ones that you have to plant every year.
That's correct.
Perennials, you don't? They come up like magic every year?
Well, I don't know about magic. You have to do a little bit of work to get the magic to work. But, yes, they generally come back every year. We're in growing zone. Most part of southern Butler County is in growing zone 5B, which means that plants that grow here and come back are hardy to minus 10 to minus 5 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the plants that we offer as Master Gardeners are perennial to that growing zone. The upper part of Butler County is in zone 6B, which is only 10 more degrees colder in hardiness. And then a lot of other vendors that we have at the garden show, there'll be plenty of vegetables, herb vendors, annuals, hanging baskets. Hanging baskets are usually filled with annuals, all that sort of thing. So the entire Spring Garden Market will have many, many, many plants.
A lot of people grow their own herbs?
I don't know.
Some cooks use, you know, they like to use fresh herbs.
Well, they do. And actually, there was an article that I think, appears in the Butler Eagle insert today about other purposes for herbs.
Huh.
Using herbs for things like ground cover. Herbs, like strong-smelling herbs, they deter deer. Deer don't like to have, you know, they don't like lavender. One of our master gardeners plants lavender under her roses to keep the deer away from her roses.
The things you learn from master gardeners. Huh? Mm-hmm. Plant a little lavender under your roses, huh?
Right. So most people, like I said, tend to think of herbs in conjunction with cooking or maybe perfume.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a lot of other purposes.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be some of those. There'll be lots of stuff to browse through, huh?
Yes.
So what if you buy some stuff and you don't want to lug it around with you all day?
Well, the 4-H from Penn State Extension will have plant valets, and they will be happy to carry your stuff from the place that you buy it to your car, and they also have a holding zone where you could take, if you buy something down around the loop, a big tree or something like that, you can bring it up, leave it at the holding zone, or you can, the plant valets will bring it up, leave it at the holding zone, and then you can go back and shop for more stuff and they'll take care of it. And then when you're ready to leave the entire event, they will help you get your plants to your car.
A plant valet. I could use some of those when I'm Christmas shopping sometime. You know, after you've been to a few stores and you're loaded down. And
right.
Well,
oh, I forgot to mention the plant valets will have bright green vests on. So.
Oh, they'll be easy to spot, yes. Huh? Yeah. All of this takes place this coming Saturday, and it's one day only. Remember that. It's not Sunday. It's just Saturday. And it's free. It's free admission at Alameda Park. Alameda Park is all cleaned up and ready to go for the warm weather season, I'm guessing, Tim?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
When does the pool open? I'm sorry. It's not called a pool anymore. It's a Alameda Water Park, right?
Technically, I guess we're considered a water park. We open June 1st at 12:15. And we'll be open until 7 p.m. And that'll be every day after that until August 25th.
Would be the week after Memorial Day.
Correct.
Memorial Day is kind of early this year.
It feels it, but it feels like May is already gone, and it feels like it just started, so that's just my mindset right now.
Maybe for those of you in the park business.
Yeah.
For the rest of us, and I certainly hope by June the 1st we don't have to worry about cold weather. You know?
I hope so.
It's a good thing the pool isn't opening today, huh?
Yeah, no, we would not be opening, that's for sure.
By the way, the dog park just opened, didn't it? Or is it about to? Fill us in on that.
We just opened the dog park this past Saturday. We opened the gates at 11 a.m. We had a nice little opening ceremony where we had some speakers. Commissioner Oshie was one of our speakers. Jim Pashik, who kind of helped head up the project of designing the dog park, Jade's Dog Park.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He spoke a little bit. And then the park director, Lance, had spoke as well. We had a few giveaways, but it was a beautiful day for it. We couldn't have asked for better weather. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. Nice and sunny out.
You had about the only nice day in the last week.
That's true. So we got real lucky in that sense. But by my estimate, I would say we probably had close to 50 dogs in there at one point.
Oh, wow.
That day on the larger side of the dog park. So we have it split into a large and small dog size. The cutoff weight is about 25 pounds. Reason being is just because the littler dogs kind of get intimidated by the bigger dogs, and they try to stand their ground. They bark a lot and mm-hmm. try to make their presence known, and it makes the larger dogs anxious. So we really strongly suggest just splitting them up. They each have their own side where they can run around in and all that stuff there to kind of keep everyone safe.
So what's the purpose of – I don't have a dog. So what's the purpose of a dog park? Are the dogs free to run without being on a leash? Is that
yep.
how it works?
Yep. We actually recommend and suggest and prefer that they aren't on a leash when they're running around in the dog park area. But depending on where you live, you may not have a large enough yard for your dog to stretch their legs and just – get all their energy out on. Mm. So we have the area is a very large area. I don't know the exact size of it, to be honest, but for those larger dogs, like golden retrievers and labs, they can just run and run and run. There's plenty of space for them to run around in and tire themselves out, essentially.
But it's all fenced in?
It's all fenced in, yep.
Where exactly within the confines of Alameda Park is the dog park located?
It's located behind the Alameda Water Park parking lot. So, it's to the right of the lion shelter. Mm-hmm. So if you head back that way.
Most people think of Alameda Park as the upper portion and the lower portion.
Yeah, it's in the upper part of the park.
Upper portion. Is there a fee if you take your dog to the dog park?
Free to use.
Is it open anytime the park's open?
Yeah, our park hours are 9 to 9, so that's the dog park hours. So that's the hours for the Jade's Dog Park as well. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of people are using it already?
Weather hasn't
been too good since dedication.
Yeah, so we were there. We opened the gates at 11. We were there till about 12:30, and then I went off to do some other errands. But I came back around 5 o'clock. The parking lot was still full Saturday evening with people with their dogs there at the dog park. And then I, you know, getting ready for the pool season, I've been there every day. And there's at least always one or two cars in the parking lot every time I drive by there after leaving the pool area. So
word will get around, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's been a much anticipated opening. So once everyone realizes that it's open, I feel like it's going to get a lot of use, especially on the nicer days.
We're talking about the Spring Garden Market and Home Show, which is this Saturday. It's now a joint effort with the Master Gardeners of Butler County and also the Butler County Parks and Recreation Department. The move to Alameda Park several years ago was tremendous, was it not, Susan? It gives you all the space you need for the big show.
It gives us all the space we need, and it gives us the shelters underneath. Previously, we were always at the mercy of the rain. Mm-hmm. If it rained, we had no place to go. it's been great for us, and we have a wonderful working relationship with the Parks Department.
Tell us a little bit about the Master Gardener Program. This is not a term that's used loosely. I mean, a lot of folks, I can remember my grandfather, for example, he was a great gardener, you know, loved to garden. My dad also, but they weren't technically master gardeners. You have to go through a lot of training and education and so on to become a master gardener.
Right. The first master gardener program was, I think, in Seattle in 1972. And since then, it's spread to pretty much all of the states. Most of the counties in Pennsylvania have their own master gardener program. To become a master gardener, you go through a set of training classes that really kind of equals a good horticulture botany class. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a very comprehensive course.
And this is under the university, of course, Penn State.
It's under Penn State Penn State's College of Agriculture Services, I think it's called. They have it. And then once you take the courses and you have to pass the tests, you have to do 50 hours of volunteer work your first year. So you're an apprentice until you complete those 50 hours. After that, you become a certified master gardener. To maintain your certification, you have to do at least 20 hours of volunteer work per year and get 10 hours of additional education per year.
So it's not something you take lightly. It takes some dedication. Yeah?
And its purpose is to educate consumers, educating consumers in horticulture.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that one of the big problems around here is that folks don't realize that there are some plants, whether it's flowers or vegetable plants, that don't do well in western Pennsylvania, either because of our temperatures or our soil or whatever. They might do well in other parts of the country, but not here.
Right, that's true. We have very acidic, generally, soil. So if a plant requires an alkaline soil, you have to treat the soil to give it what it needs. And temperatures, again, are the big thing. It has to be able to withstand the temperatures, the low temperatures. There are some plants that may be perennial in a warmer area, but we would grow those as annuals here or bring them inside for the winter to overwinter.
And plants are very sensitive to this. Susan mentioned there's actually a difference between southern Butler County and northern Butler County.
Right, about the I think it's about a quarter. I was looking at the map, and I can't figure out what made the line, because it's a very curvy, wavy line that separates 5B from 6A. But most of the county, and they just changed that. When I first became a master gardener, everything was 5B. Mm-hmm. But I think around 2012, they changed the lower part of Butler County so that it's now classified in as a warmer growing zone.
And they test stuff, right? And they have test gardens here and there, and they're always adjusting these zones.
I don't know. That's the U.S. Department of Agriculture sets the zones up. I'm not quite sure how that.
So that's different from master gardeners.
Yeah. Right.
Do you still offer advice to people?
Well, we offer advice. We have a hotline that is open, I believe, 3 days a week now. We have someone actually in the office, in the extension office, answering the phones.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to call at a time when there's not someone answering the phones, you can leave a message. Someone will get back to you. People bring usually bugs in to say, you know, what is this? Sometimes weeds. People will bring in a weed or a plant if they can't identify it to get help. We also will have at the Spring Garden Market the Master Gardener hotline table will be manned so that there will be people there who can answer questions
and
about gardening problems.
Get a hold of the Master Gardener hotline just by calling the Penn State Extension office here in Butler?
Yes. Yes, you can. It's 724-287-4761.
Mm-hmm. Or look in the phone book under Penn State if you can't find it, and you'll get a directory to know which extension to go to for the hotline.
Right.
Master Gardener's hotline. Dear Master Gardener, I've got white spots on my tomato plants. What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? What do I have to do here? What do I have to do to save my potatoes or my peppers, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And if there's no one there at the time, leave a message and the Master Gardener will call you back.
We will get back to you, yes.
Yeah. How many Master Gardeners are there in Butler County? Do you know? Ballpark figure?
There's over 100
really?
In Butler County.
I didn't realize that.
We graduated a class in the spring, and there will be another class starting in the fall.
Do you guys ever get together to share info or have a cup of coffee or something?
The Master Gardeners have a monthly meeting. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it counts. It's the second Wednesday of the month, and it is a half of the meeting counts as advanced education. We normally have a speaker who talks on whatever, advanced education topic we've decided on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a business meeting. So the Master Gardeners as a group do get together more frequently in Butler County than some of the other counties.
Well, you don't want to miss it this Saturday, folks, believe me. I've been there, and it's a fun day. I mean, in addition to being able to purchase, if you so desire, plants and stuff like that, it's just a fun day. It's a destination event anymore, don't you think?
It's a destination event. It's a welcome spring event.
Yes, and we know for darn sure that it's going to be warm by Saturday. Actually, the forecast does call for it to warm up a bit after these few chilly days that we've had. Once again, for those of you who aren't with us at the beginning of our conversation, the annual Spring Garden Market and Home Show. Don't forget that. There's going to be a lot of folks there with the home improvement stuff, too, that you can browse through, a lot of vendors. But it all takes place this Saturday, Alameda Park.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the hours again, Susan? I forget.
The hours are 9 a.m. until 3 p.m.
Plenty of parking. There'll be shuttle service from other parts of the park. If whenever you get there, you need to go to another place. So there'll be people directing you, right?
Yeah, like I said earlier, we'll have Civil Air Patrol there directing traffic, showing people where to park, where the open spots are. And then we'll have two vans coming around. They'll have shuttle service on the side of them. You'll be able to spot them easy. And there'll be different signs up for the different shuttle spots as well. So they're hard to miss.
And there's no admission charge, so can't beat that, huh?
Right, free
can't
for everyone.
That. Yeah. And don't forget, Alameda Water Park opening up June 1st.
June 1st, 12:15 p.m.
That might sound like it's a ways off, but it isn't.
It's coming way too quick, I feel. But
that's for sure.
I'm excited. I love the summer, so I'm excited for it.
Tim Calvert is the Aquatics and Program Manager for the Butler County Parks and Recreation Department, and Susan Struthers is a Master Gardener Supreme.
Oh, I like that.
Visiting with us here today. Nice to see the two of you. Good to talk with you.
And thank you for having us very much.
We'll take a quick break. We have some more candidate chats coming up. In fact, we'll be doing that on the next segment of the program. We're going to be talking to candidates who are seeking the office of Prothonotary here in Butler County, one of the county row offices that's up for election this year. I want to talk about one of our sponsors on the program today before we bring in our next guests, and that's Butler Motor Tours, online at butlerbus.com. Boy, do they have some great trips lined up this summer and into the fall for vacation ideas, or maybe it's just, you know, get out of town for a day or so. How about a trip on the Titusville Railroad? Titusville Railroad excursion. It's not all that far. It's a one-day thing, June 15th. It's really nice. Travel on that railroad down through the Oil Creek Valley. Get the details at their website online, butlerbus.com. Again, that's coming up in mid-June. They're also taking a trip to Niagara Falls in mid-June. That's a three-day trip. How about New England? The Maine Magical Summer Extravaganza. That's in late June, and that's a six-day trip. They're also taking a trip to Branson, Missouri. Branson Summer Show Tour, and that's in July, and many other trips as well. Get the details. You can at their website, butlerbus.com, they've got all the trips with the dates and the cost and the itinerary and everything. Butler Motor Tours has been around, folks, for, well, more than 75 years. So they know their stuff. It's a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler, online at butlerbus.com, butlerbus.com. Give us a couple of minutes, and we'll meet our next guest here on the It's Your Turn program for a Tuesday. Be right back.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Hi, my name is Blaze, and I work at Compassionate Certification Centers. Having worked here for a while, I've realized that the most rewarding part of my job is offering relief to patients who thought it was no longer possible. Compassionate Certification Centers can help you get certified for your medical marijuana card in Pennsylvania. If you'd like to speak to someone at CCC, give us a call at 888-316-9085 or visit cccregister.com.
Applewood Chiropractic has wellness plans designed to assist with treatment and preventative care and include 6 bioimpedance analyses per year to help with wellness and fitness goals. Plus, you'll receive discounts on services and supplements like laser therapy or hemp extract oil. And some insurance companies may even cover your wellness plan with unlimited fitness center use. For details, call 724-283-0518. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler.
Welcome back, good friends, and we have some more candidate chats today. You know, we've been doing this for the past couple of weeks now, and not for every race. I mean, this is a primary and a special election coming up next week, and there are lots and lots of races, but we've selected several. One of them is a race for Prothonotary in Butler County. It's what I refer to as one of the county row offices, and one of the candidates seeking your vote for Prothonotary next week is Paula Painter, and she's with us here in the studio today. Paula, nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate this.
Can you take a minute and tell our listeners, potential voters, a little bit about yourself? Who's Paula Painter?
Well, I am born and raised in Butler County. I've lived here all my life. I have a degree in political science pre-law that I got from Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Poli-sci, huh?
Yes, yes. I also have a certification in paralegal. I have been with the Butler County Prothonotary's office for over 18 years. 13 of those years have been as a deputy to the Prothonotary. What that means basically is when she's unavailable or if she is out of the office for any reason whatsoever, I step into her position and run the office, go to court, do all the filings and such, manage the office.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trained very well for the position that I'm running for.
We should mention that the current and longtime Prothonotary is retiring, right?
Yes, Glenn M. Walters is retiring after 36 years.
36 years,
36
wow.
years. So wow. she's really raised the office. We have very high standards in our office, and that is because of her. And she has instilled those qualities in myself. And we have a terrific staff, so we keep going.
My guess is that there are people out there, perhaps many, who say, but Dave, what's a prothonotary anyway? What does a prothonotary do?
Exactly.
Do you get that question?
We get that question usually three or four times a day. We are the civil side of the court. So anything that's not criminal does go through our office. That would be any of your civil cases, such as automobile accidents, medical malpractice, if you have property line disputes, tax assessment appeals, zoning board appeals. We also handle driver's license suspension appeals, mortgage foreclosures, credit card debts. If you want to legally change your name, we have that through our office. We also have the family court division, which is divorce, custody, protection from abuses. Some of our older things are we do have naturalization records. So we have what we call a Harry Potter room. So we have the very old books.
Now, do people, do they come directly to the Prothonotary's office if they have any needs in this area? Or do they have to be referred there through the courts? Or how does that work?
A little bit of both. We do have a lot of people that have a case brought on them and they just are confused and they don't know what to do. And so they call us or stop in to get a guidance or a direction. Some of them cannot afford an attorney, so they try to do it themselves, and we help them procedurally get on the same playing field as if they were an attorney. Attorneys themselves even call for help and direction because the rules change quite frequently, and we have to be able to follow those and keep up to date on those. So that is one of my primary things, is to make sure that the documents that do come in follow those rules and that they are procedurally correct.
These documents come from Harrisburg?
They come from attorneys. They come from individuals. They come from all over the state. They come from other courts. I do a lot of processing for the higher courts. Whenever we have appeals in our office, I make sure those records are complete to be sent out to those higher courts. Our primary function is to truly make sure that the judges have a complete, correct record, so that when they're looking at the file, everything is in that file, they can have the confidence to know that we didn't just accept something that, you know, could potentially ruin a case for someone. Mm-hmm. So we really do review every document that comes in. I personally sit at the front counter, and the prothonotary sits there right beside me, and anyone that comes into the office, they see one of the two of us. And if we're busy, then one of the other staff members will come over and see what's needed.
Where is the Prothonotary's office? Is it in the courthouse proper or in the county government center?
It is in the actual courthouse building. We're on the first floor, which is a beautiful building, so people get to take a little tour as they get to us. But yes, we do a lot of counseling, I should say, because people are scared when they come in and confused. So we make sure that they know what they're doing so that they can have confidence in themselves as well.
Why do you want to become Prothonotary?
I have worked very hard for 18 years for this opportunity. The Prothonotary herself has trained me since day one to fill her shoes when she decided to retire. And I tell people that if she didn't feel I was qualified and ready, she wouldn't be retiring. And she agrees with that. But I do have her support and her backing. This isn't a job that you can, there is no other training for this job. You know, the judges, when they're elected, they have to take a course. They have to, you know, pass certain things. Magistrates, they have to take a course. They have to pass tests and things. There is no such course for this position. So with my training for all of these years and my daily knowledge of what goes on in the office, that really will make a smooth transition for whenever the swearing-in would be in January.
Do you think there are any other special qualifications that a potential prothonotary should have, or skills that a potential prothonotary should have?
I'm very knowledgeable of what the inside of the office is about. It's not just we do civil records. I know what Glenna has done throughout the years as far as the budget. I know what she has done throughout the years as far as, you know, upgrades and what can be done in the actual procedures of getting those done. There's multiple steps you have to do. You can't just say, I want to buy new computers today. You have to go through the proper channels and everything. If it doesn't go through those channels, or if you're denied it a channel, then you have to wait. You can't just say, we're going to do electronic filing today. If the judges don't approve of that, if the budget doesn't approve of that, we can't do that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that an outsider would not understand as far as the backstory, mm-hmm. just as I wouldn't have any idea what you do on a daily basis, but I hear you on the radio. So I think my being in the office for as long as I have been, I do know all those ins and outs. I do know how to look in the old books to find cases that we may not have had anything to do with in years. You know, I have binders of notes. I have drawers full of notes. And those have accumulated because when something new comes up that we haven't had in years, I make notes on that. The prothonotary herself has a big orange folder full of notes, and we always say, oh, she's going back to the 1800s because she has notes from way back. And that is something that I'm proud to say, that not only do I have that within me, but I have the ability to find those notes and find the answers that are needed.
Well, gosh, our time is limited because we have a lot of people to talk to, but we do think it's important for people to hear from, candidates, in addition to just, you know, seeing a sign with your name on it along the road or something like that.
Right.
So that's why we appreciate you stopping in today, and it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. Thank you.
Paula Painter, is that how your name will appear on the ballot?
Paula J. Painter.
Paula J. Painter.
I am second on the ballot for prothonotary, which, from what I understand, is the last name on the first screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be right on top of the write-in.
And this is a primary, so is it, prothonotary is just...
I'm on the Republican ticket.
Okay.
If Democrats would honor me as well with their vote, they could write me in, and we would go from there.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this.
Okay, take a break. Back with more of the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words. Be right back.
May is notoriously our area's strongest storm month, and with it comes a chance for down power lines. Hello, I am Patrick Marin, lineman for Central Electric Cooperative. If you encounter power lines on the ground or sagging low, stay away and warn others to do the same. Always contact 911. Remember, lines do not have to be sparking to be energized. If your vehicle comes in contact with downed power lines, remain in the vehicle and wait until the utility crew arrives to de-energize the line. Warn others to stay away. Only exit the vehicle in case of fire by jumping out and away from the car with both feet together and hop away for at least 30 feet. Telephone or cable wires may come in contact with power lines, so remember to treat all downed power lines as energized. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My name is Patrick Marin, and my personal safety goal is to get home every night. What's yours? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
It's been tradition for years that on the first Wednesday of the month, you attend the meatloaf or pork chop dinner at Tanglewood. It's also tradition that anytime there are five Wednesdays in a month, Chef George is going to arrange another dinner on the third Wednesday, where you can indulge in homemade ham loaf or stuffed boneless chicken breast with gravy, two sides, coleslaw, rolls and butter, dessert and beverage. It's Wednesday the 15th from 3 till 6. Only $10. $9 for members. Takeouts available. And as always, it's BYOB. Tanglewood, just off Hanson Avenue, Lindora.
Welcome back. We have another candidate who is seeking the office of Prothonotary in this coming primary election, which is it's a week from today, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it's next Tuesday. Say hello to Kelly Ferrari. Kelly, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
So I always begin our candidate chats by having the person talk a little bit about themselves, because I'm sure many of our listeners don't know who you are. So tell us, who's Kelly Ferrari?
So I'm Kelly Ferrari again, and I'm a Republican candidate for the office of Prothonotary, where my name will appear number one on the ballot next Tuesday. I was raised and born and raised here in Butler City by my parents, George and Sarah Smith. My dad served as a city fireman and he retired as the fire chief and then served on Butler City Council. I graduated from Butler High School in 1986 and then Youngstown State University. I've been married for 30 years to my husband, George Ferrari. We reside in Center Township, where we've raised our two sons, who are adults now, Wade and Grant. And our family attends Community Alliance Church, where I currently serve in the church nursery. No grandbabies yet, so I just hold the babies at the church.
Why did you decide to run for the office of Prothonotary?
With the current Prothonotary's retirement, the office is being vacated. I feel this office is an asset to our community. My dad, his whole entire life, answered the call to serve the community as a fireman, and I feel this is my opportunity to answer the call to serve for our community.
Do you feel there are qualifications that you possess that would help you as Prothonotary?
I do. So for the last 28 years, I've had a business in the county where we do work not only in the Butler County court system, but also Allegheny, Armstrong, Mercer, and other counties, covering civil, criminal hearings, family law proceedings, zoning hearings, public hearings at all the local townships. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen me at the township meetings, and I also work for the school district covering public hearings for all the local school districts.
You've had a business that's been involved in this?
Correct. I own a court reporting firm in the county for the last 28 years.
Oh. Court recording.
Court reporting?
Oh, reporting.
So I'm the person that you see sitting behind the little machine in the courtroom. So every document that passes through the Prothonotary's office, I have read through, had my hands on. That this is my field, is the legal field for the last 30 years.
I was reading online. I looked up the word Prothonotary because I wanted to know where it came from. I assumed that notary was part of it there, you know, Prothon notary.
Yes.
And it turns out that Pennsylvania is one of only two states that still has what they call a Prothonotary. The other one is Delaware.
That's
everywhere
correct.
Else, these particular tasks are handled by someone that's known as a chief clerk.
Correct. I get that every day on the campaign trail, knocking on doors. Tell me, what is the Prothonotary's office? And so I explain to them what it is, and a fancy word for the clerk of courts. But our clerk of courts in Butler handles all the criminal matters, and all the civil and family law matters go through the Prothonotary's office. But you're also able to come into the Prothonotary's office. It's an authorized acceptance facility for passport applicants, which a lot of people don't realize. But they don't currently take passport photos. So I will be enhancing the passport photo process by adding the ability to provide on-site passport photos, making the office a one-stop shop for that.
So the Office of Prothonotary deals directly with people then, right? People,
that's correct.
People come right there to the office, so they need some people skills.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I think my first passport, I had to go to Prothonotary's office. Yeah, I don't recall, because there are, I think, sometimes get them at post offices today too. Not all,
right?
Not
right.
All post offices, but it's some. Yeah. Is the office, to your knowledge, pretty much computerized these days? I would imagine that's happened, at least partly so.
The office is not, and part of my interest in taking office was I work for all of the local attorneys in the county. They're my clients who are the primary users of the Prothonotary's office, and they've approached me with ideas of other counties are going online, doing online filing, other things online. There's non-taxpayer money that is available to upgrade the outdated records management system currently in place and update to updated technology. And there's a records improvement fund where there are funds available for that don't require taxpayer dollars.
So tell the listeners why you think you would be a good choice for Prothonotary if they're still trying to make up their minds before they go to the polls next Tuesday?
I think that I possess a combination of skills and experience that make me stand out from my opponents. I have the, from owning a business, I have the, not only the legal experience, but the leadership skills to lead the office, manage the staff, balance the budget, keep up with the modernization of technology, and most importantly, the foundation of my business is customer service.
And you're a candidate in the Republican primary, am I correct on that?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Write in votes?
Right. Democrats are more than welcome to write in my name. I would appreciate the opportunity for the consideration of their vote as a write-in. And if you don't mind, if I could just add that I've been working in Butler for the last 30 years with the men and women of the Pennsylvania State Police. Troop D, which is our local troop, represents over 400 active and retired PA state troopers in a 5-county area, and they have endorsed my campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're certainly welcome to add that.
Thank you.
As our time begins to run short, it goes so quickly. Anything else you'd like to add for voters who are still making up their minds?
You know, just that I would appreciate the consideration of the listeners' votes, and my name does appear number one on the ballot, so I would appreciate that. Thank you.
And your name will appear as Kelly Ferrari, is
that right?
That's
correct.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a slight difference, so
yes.
I just want to make sure that people aren't confused about
yes.
that. Yes. Well, thanks for stopping in today. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, all we're trying to do is to let people be a little bit more familiar with candidates so that, you know, instead of guesswork, whenever they go to the polls next Tuesday, they can make a more informed choice.
So. Yes, I've been knocking on a lot of doors, trying to meet the constituents out in the county, answer their questions. So I think that's the best way for the public to get to know you, other than, you know, listening to you on the radio. But I think that's the best way is to meet them in person. So I've probably knocked on a couple thousand doors.
Kelly Ferrari is a candidate in the Republican primary for Prothonotary, one of the county row offices up for election this year. Once again, nice to have you here.
Thank you.
More to come on It's Your Turn. We're going to be talking in just a couple of minutes with our final guest for the day. We'll be chatting with Mark Hess by telephone from Texas about a novel that he's written. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk with Mark Hess in just a moment here on It's Your Turn on WISR.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Chatting listeners on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Mark Hess, author Mark Hess, who joins us by telephone. He's the author of a new novel called The Gillespie County Fair. Mark Hess, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dave. I appreciate that. The Gillespie County Fair is known out here in Texas. I'm calling, we're on the phone from Texas, so we're talking across the country here. And the Gillespie County Fair is the oldest fair in the state of Texas. So it's something that, you know, rings true down here, but you guys may not know about it up there in Butler County.
You are from Fredericksburg, Texas. Is this where the Gillespie County Fair is held?
Yes, and that is the phenomena. The thing is, in the past decade, Fredericksburg, Texas has changed from this rock-rimmed old German, rather isolated farming community. And very rapidly, it became this chic New Age tourist destination that it is today.
So that is the general plot outline of your book, The Gentrification of Rural Texas?
Yes. Well, it's been a time of prosperity. And while many the local families who are descendants from the pioneer, from the German pioneers that originally settled this part of the country, are prospering in the transition, this story's fiction. It's not about the history of the fair. It's about a family that destroys itself in the transition. The question that it calls into mind is, is the clash between new money and traditional values in a changing world? And it's a very personal story.
How are modern-day Texans dealing with so many of their towns being turned into tourist destinations? Do they like that or no?
They do and they don't. in a different regard, in Fredericksburg, Texas, and my novel rather addresses this as well, is that Texas is booming right now. And one of the things that's booming down here is, along with oil and whatnot, is tourism. So Texas gets its identity from its rural towns. We look at ourselves as a cowboy kind of country. But the thing is, it's something like a very small proportion of people in Texas live in towns. We're really an urban environment, down here. But we look to the Lord to get our personification, and in that there's this struggle, I should say, about who we really are.
Tell us where Fredericksburg is located, by the way. Can you place it in proximity to a big city in Texas that we might know?
Yeah, I certainly can. We're in south central Texas, so we are west of Austin and west of San Antonio. We're far enough west that we're not a bedroom community, but we're not so far west that we don't draw a lot of people out of those regions. We're north of the border, where a lot of the border stress is going on, and we're in this kind of unique area in Texas. It's called the Hill Country, and it's a rolling hills place where they have rivers flowing and trees that was settled by German immigrants back in the 1840s.
Getting back to your novel, the Gillespie County Fair, there are two pioneer families who are featured. What happens? Are they like the Hatfield and the McCoys, or do they live peacefully?
They're relatives. A lot of people are going back or intermarried here. But what I do, the Gillespie County Fair weaves it's set against the factual background of what's happening in contemporary Fredericksburg. And the Gillespie County Fair weaves the fictional narrative of these two fathers who start battling over some property that is now valuable. And they end up fighting over their fight comes down to what they're battling over their family, their heritage, and specifically their estranged daughter, their stepfather and biological father. And their daughter, on the other hand, she's carved a crude street map of the city into her thigh with her razor blade when she was young because she feels trapped in this town and wants to get out.
You mentioned that Fredericksburg is rich in German ethnic heritage. We had that here in Pennsylvania, too, especially in the eastern part of the state, Philadelphia area. In fact, there was a time when they thought that Pennsylvania's Quaker culture was going to be overrun by the Germans. That was a long time ago. There's even a place outside of Philadelphia called Germantown. You know it, Germantown?
Yes, I do. My family, I'm a Hess, and that is not a common name down here, but there's a lot of Hesses in Pennsylvania, in eastern Pennsylvania, in Germantown per se. But Hess, although we're German, is a kind of Auslander name in this part of Texas, where they have names like Krenweldies and Genskis and Kinesis and things like that. It's because the migration came from a different part of Germany at a different time.
I see. You are the founding publisher of a travel guide called The Insider's Guide to the Texas Hills. Tell us about that, Mark.
Well, I have to look my friends in the eye and say, when we are sitting here in this area that's been, we like it, but it changes us, been overrun with tourists, and my friends look at me and said, well, Mark, this is your fault, because you started one of the first travel guides down here. And my travel guide would say, we have great wildflowers down here, particularly this time of year, would give guides to what county roads to go through to see what wildflowers were blooming. And the local ranchers would get angry with us that we had told, leaf peepers how to drive in front of their ranch. And, the thing is, they were right, because those strips are now subdivisions, and, the land's been developed so much and whatnot. So it was, I came down here actually from Yankee Magazine and started a regional, travel guide that was part of the early boom in the tourism here.
Yes, I've seen Yankee Magazine. That deals with New England, doesn't it, generally?
Yes, it is. That's where I was before I came down here.
Many of us from the Middle Atlantic states, when we hear about Texas, we think of cowboys. Are there still cowboys in Texas, Mark?
Yes, but you have to go see them. This is what I was saying earlier. You have to go out to see them. Yeah, there are genuine cowboys here. Ranching is still a business, and rodeoing is still a pastime. But you see more cowboy-looking people driving, you know, in their cowboy clothes, driving pickup trucks in the suburbs of Austin and San Antonio than you do, on horseback. That's, like we cleaned. I'm sure it happens everywhere. I'm sure it happens over there in Butler County. But you have people that cling to what they think their traditions were, although they've never been on a horse. And if you take your kids in a drive out of the country, you can come to Fredericksburg and actually see people working on horses and whatnot. And that's what the gentrification portion is all about. We get our state identity from something that's actually disappearing.
Is there class struggle in Texas? We know that that's oil country. There are a lot of ultra-rich people there. Is there a clash between people who are not well off, maybe living in more rural areas, Mark Hess?
Yes, I would say so. Although it's not an outwardly physical clash, there are, and why that is we have a nice place to live. We're a town of 11,000 people. We bring in 1.2 million visitors every year, and houses and rates, go up. So people cannot afford to live, I myself am one of them, wouldn't be able to purchase the house that I live in now.
Mark Hess is the author of the Gillespie County Fair. You moved to Texas from New England. It's difficult for some of us in Pennsylvania to realize just how big Texas is. Was that a culture shock for you, Mark Hess?
Yes, it is. And Texas is made up of a lot of parts. And it's just, and we don't have a lot of public transportation, a topic that you were talking about yesterday on the radio. So we're car and truck people. And we're used to getting in our car and driving, maybe an hour to get something that we want. Grocery stores are nearby, but we are a far-flung state connected by very excellent highways that people use. And the space thing is people have a lot of elbow room down here, which is a positive thing about the state. But it also means there's great distances to get from one place to another.
A novel about the gentrification of rural Texas, the Gillespie County Fair, by Mark Hess. It's been our pleasure to chat with him for the last few minutes here on It's Your Turn. Mark, nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you today. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. And you can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, your choice. But they'll package them up and ship them out for you. Very convenient and very affordable, too. They also have other services available, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road in Butler. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Going Postal Butler. Another sponsor today is Schnoor's Greenhouse, family owned and operated since 1889. Yeah, 1889, they're celebrating 130 years of business. Very friendly service, very knowledgeable staff, and that helps if you need advice on a particular plant. They've got annuals. They've got gorgeous hanging baskets right now. They specialize in vegetable plants, too. Tremendous selection from which to choose. Just about any vegetable or plant that you can imagine, they've got it at Schnoor's Greenhouse. Gift cards, too. They're located off Herman Road. Look for Schnoor Road near the RC Men's Club. Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse, Schnoor's Greenhouse. Hours, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 8 to 5, Sunday, 11 to 5.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
On May 21st, I'm voting for Attorney Wink Robinson to serve as Butler County's next Common Pleas Court judge. I urge you to join with me and support him with your vote. This is Attorney Ray Conlon. I've known Wink both professionally and personally for nearly 3 decades. He's the most experienced candidate, possesses a solid knowledge of the law, has respect for others, and exhibits unquestionable ethical standards. Attorney Wink Robinson is clearly the right choice to serve as judge for all Butler County citizens. Please join me and thank Wink on May 21st.
Paid for by the candidate, William Wink Robinson.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Together and we'll get it undone.